Warning, the following podcast is meant for comedy. We do not condone or support any criminal activity or crimes mentioned. Enjoy yourself.
True criminals!
Welcome to the show. I'm Eric.
I'm Rachel.
And this is True Criminals, a podcast where we talk to regular people about the crimes they have committed. So, coming up here in a bit, we have a guest interview, but I do want to talk on some show news here at the beginning. It's been a couple extra weeks since we recorded. Now, just so people are aware, I had this guest interview. I interviewed this person a couple weeks ago. I've been sitting on this interview for about 3 weeks. It's just been like rough getting the intro and outro together. Scotty was supposed to originally interview with the guest, and then he got COVID. I end up interviewing the guest alone. And then I'm not entirely sure if the guest didn't like me and bowed out. I don't think that's what happened, honestly. The interview seemed to be going fine. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I felt like I was admitting to a lot of crimes, and the guest had, like, lesser crimes. So, I don't know. Maybe she thought, like, oh, shit, this is a den of heathens. Bowed out. Stuff to say. So, yeah, Scott got COVID, then we couldn't get, he couldn't record for a while. And so he wasn't there for the interview. Wasn't sure how we were going to do the intro and outro. And, yeah, there's some other projects. I've been working on some other things. And so I just let it get away. So that's that. But back now. And, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how things go. I plan on, hitting up some more guests and getting some things out there in the future. But, yeah, just try not to let things, get too crazy. I mean, yeah, the COVID thing, we couldn't have anticipated. But other than that, crime news. So, Rachel, you had a story to tell that you were saving for something?
No.
No?
No.
I could have sworn you said you thought of a crime that you had committed that you were waiting until the next intro and outro.
No, I mean, I wasn't saving it for anything. I just realized once that I did have, like, I guess kind of a crime that I did as a teenager that I've never mentioned.
Oh, okay.
When you asked me if I could do this intro and outro, I was like, well, I guess I do have, like, one thing I've never mentioned.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't, like...
I'm just using words.
And it's not, like, a good story. So you're like, oh, you got a story
Everybody get to the edge of your seats.
Yeah, like, no, it's literally, I was just like, what would I say in an intro and outro to an interview I've never heard? And I was like, I guess I can't think of one more thing I did as a kid.
Let's save it. Until people are good and excited. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, other crime news.
I mean, obviously, the big crime news right now was that the FBI searched Mar-a-Lago.
Yes. Okay. So
yesterday at the time that we're recording this.
I mean, there's actually a lot of crime news. If you keep it up with the world, there's a lot of crime news. The former president, Trump, is apparently he's a criminal.
Who knew?
Who knew? I mean, I voted for that guy twice. Yeah, I mean, geez, I don't know. I almost feel like my first vote was wasted now. But it's like a reverse Watergate. So if you're not up with the news, the former president, I mean, I don't think they're after him for flushing documents down the toilet. I think that just keeps coming up, so...
Well, they want, he said he returned everything he had. So, and the fact that they knew he didn't makes it seem like they're looking for specific things.
Yeah, yeah. And you and I talked a little bit about this earlier, but they were saying, I heard that, there's really only two reasons that he could be holding on to something. One, that he's trying to hide something that either embarrasses him or makes him look bad in some sort of way. Guilty, criminal, etc. Or two, he's holding on to something that benefits him in some way. And my thoughts were like tax evasion, something like that, like, stocks and shit. I couldn't figure out how the president would have top secret documents about stocks, but...
Well, one thing they said is, like, one of the FBI agents involved is, like, a really high-level agent who really only gets involved in foreign affairs.
Hmm.
So things that involve, like, Russia, China.
Ooh, maybe it's the pee-pee tapes.
But I just think if it were something that could embarrass him, yeah, I just think he would have flushed it with the rest of the stuff.
You can't flush your VHS.
I mean, you can try.
You can try.
You can throw it in a fire.
Yeah.
And so I just think that whatever he was keeping has to be something that he thought would benefit him down the road. Or it has to be something precious to him, like love letters from Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, or the one ring to rule them all.
Yeah. So. Oh, shit. That means the government's looking for it.
Oh, geez. Yeah, this is the darkest timeline. So, there's that. The other thing, so... Yeah, I mean, obviously today specifically, they released the Trump, like, okay, so the news broke. When the news broke, and this is how I heard the news broke, I heard that a reporter tweeted out, I think Mar-a-Lago is currently being raided by the FBI, but I'm not a good enough reporter to confirm this. And then, like, 15 minutes later, the president truthed it and confirmed it more or less. I don't know if that reporter has since been like, oh shit, you're the best reporter. he scooped everybody. Because in the same tweet, he also said he's not a good reporter.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd never heard about that, other than what you said.
But that's the way I heard it. Anyways, so then the president truthed it, and then he's been truthing it all day and night since then. And apparently... people are as riled up as they were on January 5th. I know I am. And so it's a... But they have nowhere to direct their energy because there's no big rally in front of the Capitol now. Today, someone shot up the FBI or something.
Yeah, I didn't actually hear that story. I just saw...
And it's going to be because the GOP is out there saying defund the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a witch hunt.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh.
The FBI is political.
Yeah. Everything's political.
I mean, all cops are political, but they're not on Liberty's side.
Yeah. Well, so that's the crime news. I mean, I don't know. We don't have the info. Merrick Garland has asked the judge to release the documents. And so that might be crime news here in a couple of days. But yeah, wild times as far as, like, if you follow politics, I mean, maybe it doesn't seem that interesting, but you hear about Watergate in movies. And so this is, I mean, it's not Watergate. It's entirely different. But why do they talk about Watergate in fucking those two journalists, Woodward and Bernstein?
Yeah, because it's so wild for a president to commit these major crimes. It's so fucking
wild. And this is more wild. They will be making movies about this in 20 years, and you'll be hearing about fucking everybody. You'll be hearing about this journalist tweeting out that he's not a good journalist and all of that. I mean, who knows? It'll probably be an old Harry Styles playing him or something.
No. In 20 years, you think Harry Styles is going to be old?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you how old Harry Styles is today. He's not 20.
He's also not 30.
Oh, okay. Well, 45. That's older than I am now. Or the look on your face. Yeah. Did I say old or did I say older?
You said old.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm old. I feel old. Okay. So yeah, that's crime news. Is there any other crime news? I swear there is some more.
The cops who murdered Breonna Taylor were charged.
Oh, did they? Just charged.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's some more. I know. I heard some more. God, we've been watching late night, and I've been hearing. I'm like, oh yeah. Jeez, I feel like we're in a hot pocket of crime news. I can't think of anything other than the president's crime news.
I mean, it's always just been the president's crime news.
No, there's other stuff. I know there's other stuff. Yeah, it's just not coming to me. So other than that, as far as like crime news I've been reporting on the show, my ticket, my $900 ticket, I'll be making my last payment on here in like a week, and then I think I just have 6 months of probation after that. And then hopefully all the vehicles that I'm driving that have expired registrations won't get me pulled over and ticketed.
Yeah, I mean, I drove with expired registration for like 2 years and I never got pulled over.
Yeah, I drove with expired registration for 2 years and did get pulled over and ticketed for it. That was years ago. Yes, it was when we first moved to Texas, and it's so hard to like change everything over. Mm-hmm. And so it was hard for me to get my license, and it was hard for me to get my registration with the amount. Like, it, maybe it's not hard. This was before COVID, but maybe it's not hard if you have lots of time and stuff. But yeah, trying to do it in your spare time while working, it was hard.
Yeah, I had to bring my marriage license, even though my Oklahoma ID and my social security card both have my married name, because my birth certificate has a different name. I had to also bring my marriage license because I had to have my birth certificate.
Yeah, and this was Texas law, and we came from Oklahoma, which is I think supposed to be less red than Texas.
Well, I doubt it. I don't know. About the same.
I was like, are we in California? What is with all this regulation? I mean, it was insane.
I mean, Oklahoma is incredibly unregulated.
Yeah. No, after we came here, I was like, Oklahoma's the Wild West. Yeah, I was incredibly upset.
They don't give a fuck.
I went to, one time in Oklahoma, I went to renew my license, and I brought my Social Security card, and they have tag agencies there. You don't have to go to the DMV or the DPS for everything. So I went to a tag agency, and they're like, no, we can't accept your Social Security card. Because my Social Security card looks like it's been through a war.
Yeah, it's like half of a card for one.
Well, it's not half of a card, but it's definitely like it's missing a fifth of it at least.
Yeah.
Part of my signature is gone. Like my last name is Bookout. The UT is gone, and so they're like, I can't see your full signature, and I'm like, that's exactly what they said. They said I can't see your full signature, and I said, well, I'm here. I can sign my signature in front of you. So why do you need to see my full signature when I can show you my full signature? And they're like, it has to be on the card. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. And then I left. And then I immediately went to another tag agency. And they were like, all right, here you go. And they just took my fee, accepted everything, and passed it along. It was great. And so, yeah. But that couldn't happen here.
No. Yeah. I lost my ID like shortly after we got married. And I mean, I just brought in like my marriage license, my birth certificate, my social security card. And they were like, all right, here you go. Yeah. Here, that would not work. I would have to bring in proof of address. And
yeah,
I would have to bring in another form of ID, because birth certificates like don't actually count, whatever. Like, I'd have to have my voter registration card.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd have to have a proof of address.
Oh, geez. Yeah. So, no, it's all a nightmare. And, like, yeah, this is supposed to be the government isn't intruding in your life state. This place is supposed to be the Wild West, and it is not. It is intrusive and annoying, and it sucks. That, I guess that's who's the real criminal. Beyond that, I did remember a crime news thing. And the kind of... So, recently, Beyonce has been stealing people's music and using a bunch of racial slurs or something?
No.
Using a bunch of slurs?
She said spaz.
She said spaz. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, the spaz thing, obviously, it's not criminal, but, you know, whatever you interpret on that. Someone messaged her about it the same way they messaged Lizzo and said you shouldn't use the word spaz because it's in reference to people with...
spastic cerebral palsy.
Yeah, with nervous system issues, and she should remove that. And then Khalees,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, approached her and said, hey, you sampled my song. You should fix that shit. So that... that is criminal, depending on how, you know. Yeah, I guess had it gone down the to.
I mean, you could sue someone. Yeah, wouldn't face any criminal charges.
I mean,
they wouldn't.
Copyright infringement, right?
Yeah, but I don't think anyone really ever I mean,
not over like, something that's but small. Maybe fines. Fines still count as something, right? I don't know. Yeah, tough to say. But yeah, I heard recently though that spaz is only a slur in other countries. That they actually use it as a slur in other countries. And the reporter who reached out to both Lizzo and Beyonce is from Australia. And that in Australia, they actually will say it kind of like a slur to mean exactly what she's saying that they use it as. And so, like...
Where did you hear this?
On a podcast.
Because, like, we saw a whole thing on CNN where they were saying because of the... There's, like, an actual condition where the medical term is spastic cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
And spaz is short for spastic. That's how it is in the slang. That's the word it comes from. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so... I guess there's... Is it used that way? I mean, I guess spastic, but can spastic mean other things? I mean, it can.
Yeah, but I think only negatively, and it probably always comes
from that. It doesn't necessarily have to mean negatively, because something can be spastic as far as its erratic motions or exhibited behaviors and not necessarily be negative.
Right, but I think to use it in reference to a person, you have to either be using it correctly, like as the medical diagnosis, or you... have to be criticizing them or like making fun of them.
But I don't think Beyonce was, I think she was referring to it in sex. She was talking about motions and stuff like that.
I don't know. I haven't heard the song.
Yeah. So either way, I do, and the way I heard it, they actually gave some examples. They gave examples from other TV shows that are from other countries where it specifically is said out loud and people are using it in a, yeah, negative tone or, yeah, derogatory way that you can tell it's a slur. But it's like one of those things where they, like in other countries, they use the word fag, but they're talking about something different. And so it's just kind of one of those things. I mean, obviously Beyonce doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how people interpret it, but it's just, you know.
Well, it does matter how people interpret it. That's the point. You know, a community interprets it
yes.
to be derogatory against them.
Yeah, yeah, I know. What I'm saying is, though, if all of America doesn't take it that way because it's used differently, Beyonce still did the right thing by taking it out. She's not just this American, like, icon. She's a worldwide icon.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I mean, obviously, the reporter from Australia heard it because Beyonce is popular in Australia. So
I didn't hear about that reporter. And with Lizzo, she was, like, kind of attacked online. There was, like, an online campaign against her when people heard the word in her song. So I know it wasn't, like, a lone reporter. It was going to them and being like, oh, you can't do this.
Yeah. But either way, you know, I mean, I don't know what it cost them to remove their things, but I guess... Yeah, you know, I mean, if you think about it, there's probably a lot of terms you could probably vet you could vet your lyrics. It wouldn't take that much. It honestly wouldn't take that much.
Yeah.
Just vet your damn lyrics. A person with average common sense could probably just listen to your lyrics and say, I don't know where that term comes from. Let's Google it. There you go. You paid someone $20 and they spent an hour of their time. Either way, now, whatever. It's already done and over with. Other than her having to go back and possibly remove her Monica Lewinsky comments. But, yeah. Beyond that, okay, so this guest coming up, like I said, she was fine and she was nice and we talked and it was just me. But, I mean, yeah, it felt like the interview cut short. Most interviews go about an hour or more, and we edit down. And yeah, this one stopped shy of 30 minutes. And so, I don't know. I was a little taken back just by the abruptness of how quickly it ended. So I was, yeah, but it's fine. I mean, there was nothing, you know, I wouldn't say anything crazy or offensive, and I don't think we were fighting. So it was just maybe she did all of a sudden remember. Yeah, she had a fishing trip that she had to get to, and I was she stopping that from happening. So we'll see. Here you go. I don't know how long ago it was that we originally messaged, but I assume you kind of remember what the show's about?
I do, and I just looked it over again. So kind of any crime that you kind of got away with, right?
You didn't have to get away with it. if you got caught and you spent some time in jail or whatever, fine too. But yeah, so that's what we just talk to people about, you know, the stuff they've done. And that's it, regular people. You know, a lot of times we're trying to really show that everybody's done stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's true. Your neighbor may seem like a nice person. They might have done, but they may have done something crazy. So, and yeah, I've definitely done plenty of crazy stuff. So,
that's funny.
So, just, you know, a couple regular things that we ask off the bat. Have you ever been arrested?
No, I have not.
Okay. But have you had run-ins with the cops?
You know, more, I guess, driving related kinds of things. But yes, I have.
Driving related, so you've been pulled over.
I have been. And then I didn't know if this was what I wanted to talk about. I had a couple things in mind, but I used to smoke. And I guess one time in the summer, I threw a cigarette butt out the window and I got pulled over. Uh-oh. And really read the riot act about littering. And I guess this officer was saying there has not been any rain and you started a brush fire.
You could have. The whole world's on fire right now. So.
Exactly. I know. And this was probably at least 27 years ago. So even, you know, that was before we were seeing these fires on an annual basis. So, but anyway, so he gave me a ticket for $250.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I went to court to try to fight it. And, you know, I guess I had grown up watching a lot of LA Law and all of those kinds of shows. So I thought, let me see what I could do. And you know, bottom line, I tried, you know, saying, do you have any evidence? How do you know it was mine? Blah, blah, blah. The guy was just kind of like, oh, give me a break. So I think the judge knocked down the fee, but that was about it.
Yeah, I hear, and I don't know if this is true, but I hear that if you go and fight the tickets, a lot of times the cop won't even show up, and so you'll get away with it. I've only tried to fight one ticket, and I've talked about it here on the show. I got it last year. I got it on my birthday.
So
I was I was already annoyed about that. But it was for driving past a school bus when it had a stop sign out, which, I mean, is bad, but I've talked about this on the show, but the stop sign popped out right as I was driving past it.
Yeah, that just seems like a case of bad timing. It wasn't like you saw little kids in the intersection and decided to gun it.
So. Yeah. So, but it was a $900 ticket.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I'm going to have to remind my oldest son is driving. But yes, because I know I've passed them when the orange or yellow lights start flashing. And it's almost like you're not processing it until you've almost passed it, and then you think, oh my god, what was I supposed to do, slow down, stop, and it's tricky.
Yeah, well, okay, so I fought that ticket just because I mean it was $900.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it got kicked down the road for 6 months. I went to a video trial or whatever, and then they said, okay, well, I pled not guilty. Then I went to another video thing, and I had to request for evidence or something like that.
Wow.
Finally, the third time I showed up online, they showed me the video of, and I passed it right as the stop sign came out, but they said the law is once the lights start flashing.
All right. That's good to know. Okay. Oh man. Did they reduce the rate?
No.
Oh no! I thought you were going to say yes.
No.
Any points associated with that?
No, no. I paid the ticket, but then I think I got 6 months probation. So as long as I don't get another ticket within that 6 months, it goes off my record.
That's rough.
Yeah, and I've had that several times. So I'm technically on probation right now, but
oh no.
But I got a public intox ticket actually, like 5 years ago, and they put me on probation for that. And I think it was 1 year. As long as I didn't get any more fines or tickets during that time, it went off my record. So now, you can look me up and I'm squeaky clean, but.
Right. But beneath the surface.
Beneath the surface. Yeah.
That happened. A friend of mine and I were out in New York City again, probably 30 years ago. And we each had like an open container and a cop stopped us and he wrote a ticket for my friend. And then when he got to me, he said he had run out of summons and it's funny, my friend never paid it and he'll joke like, I can't park illegally. You know, they probably have this outstanding ticket, but we were saying like, oh, come on, you know, this is Manhattan. There've got to be bigger fish to fry. And it wasn't, we were just walking down the street. We weren't being disorderly. We weren't doing anything, you know, other than just kind of window shopping and having a drink.
But I don't know how those open container laws work. I'm sure they're different state to state as well.
I think they definitely are.
I mean, obviously, you can walk down the street in New Orleans with a drink. Exactly. In your hand. You can hire the cops to like escort you around for $300. So
true, crazy.
Yeah. So, most ladies I get on the show. Shoplifted.
Oh, okay. I have to say I haven't done that. Oh. Not something. I did think of another one though, as we're talking and you talk about going to fight a ticket. I did jump a turnstile also in New York City.
Yeah.
Mainly because I think again, this is going back many years, I was with my husband and my brother and my brother's friend. And I think one of them didn't have exact change. And this was, I think, either before Metro cards or, you know, it just wasn't that easy to do. And I think there wasn't anybody working to make change at that time. So, and it was, we had gone to see a concert and it was probably close to like 1 a.m. and there weren't that many trains back to New Jersey. So I said, you know, I gave my money to my brother's friend and I said, I'm just going to jump the turnstile. And so because the train was pulling in and we wanted to be on it. And next thing, a guy in plain clothes is tapping me on the shoulder, saying, ma'am, what are you doing? And I thought he was kidding. I'm like, are you kidding me? Until he flashed the badge. And so that one, I did go to court to fight too. And I guess when it came up to my time, the judge said, like, you don't look like somebody who's in the habit of jumping turnstiles. Like, what were you thinking? And I said, honestly, we didn't have exact change and there wasn't anybody open. And I didn't really think it was that big a deal, but apparently it is. So the judge said, like, just don't ever do it again and you can go home. But, you know, I was probably like 30 years old. I didn't fit the bill for your regular turnstile jumper.
So, do you know what the fee was? What was the fine?
I want to say it was going to be like over $100, maybe.
And how much was it to pay the turnstile if you had exact change?
Oh gosh, probably like $1 or $2. I think probably $1 because I just gave my my brother's friend, and I think I had probably a 10 or a 20.
Yeah,
but nobody was going to make change at like 1 a.m. But
that's funny. Yeah. It makes me think of this. This is kind of similar. So one time, this is back before like toll roads, like had the sticker that it could automatically read your sticker or get your license plate and they send you a ticket in the mail or whatever.
Yes.
So you'd have to pull up to the booth and either give, if there was an attendant there, or you'd go through these automatic ones where you throw in your exact change and then take the toll road. And one time it snowed. And so the little like coin receptor was just filled with snow. And so I pulled up to throw some change into this toll booth to get on the toll pipe, the toll road, and it was filled with snow. And there were quarters all over the top of it. People were pulling up, throwing their quarters in, and jumped, but it wasn't registering anything.
Oh, no.
And so, I pulled up, and then I just like, oh, screw that. I don't throw quarters on a pile of snow.
Right, exactly.
So I just threw off. Never got a ticket or heard about it. So
good. That's good.
But I don't even know if I was driving my car. So maybe my mom got a ticket. I don't know.
Oh, I hope not. Maybe she would let you know if she did.
Who knows? She's kind of criminal too. So.
Oh, that's funny. That's where you got it, right?
Yeah. So you never shoplifted or anything like that?
No, I really haven't. Even, well, you know,
even as a kid?
This was another story I was going to tell, which I guess is sort of shoplifting, but it was completely unintentional. So one summer I worked, my dad had worked at an insurance company and they needed summer interns. So he said, you know, if you want this job, you've got it. You can come with me every day. So I went with him. And so once or twice a week, he and I would go out to lunch. So he really loved this pizza at like Famous Ray's Pizza, whatever. And usually there'd be a line out the door. And we'd get our slices and we'd usually go back and like eat them in his office or whatever. So usually he'd be ahead of me on the line and I was not paying attention. They had this huge, like, I guess almost like a silver pizza tray filled with garlic balls or garlic knots. And I was just eating them. And every time I'd go, I'd be like, these are amazing. This is delicious. And I guess my dad was not paying any attention to me. And then one day he turns around and he's like, What are you doing? And I said, these are great. And he's like, those are not free. They're not free samples. You're supposed to pay for those. And so I probably over the course of that summer had stolen about 20 garlic knots. And I thought they were just putting them there for patrons who are waiting in this long line, like, you know, have a sample of this while you wait. But my dad was like, this is Manhattan. This isn't like a little bakery in a small town. You're not, nobody's giving you free anything here. So technically I was shoplifting garlic knots, but never knowing it until, and then once he told me that, I think he paid for them for me that day. And then he said like, hey, don't ever do that again.
So while working, you ever take anything from work or do anything weird like that? Like, I mean, not everybody takes pens or whatever, but
I don't think so. I may have at one point like borrowed a stapler if I had like a need and returned it, but I don't think I ever took anything like that. But that's a good question too.
Yeah, I mean, I've for sure borrowed stuff from work and returned it. In fact, where I work currently, I do it all the time. And like, they'll be like, man, we're missing some equipment. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, it's at my house. I'll go get it. they're totally cool with it. But
I probably never worked anywhere, like, interesting enough to take it. You know what I mean? I had basically office jobs, so they probably never had anything really worth stealing. So
yeah, when I was a teenager, I worked at a grocery store. And we used to, like, eat food off the shelves and all sorts of stuff.
Okay. So. I could see that. Yeah. I did work at a bank. And unfortunately one time we did have a colleague who stole about $6,000. Uh-huh. And my friend and I, she and I were probably like in our teens when we worked there. So we were almost like among the primary suspects. And it was interesting almost to see how people kind of turned on one another, because before that it had been a really like nice, friendly group. And I guess the lady who was the manager, she was friendly with the woman who stole it. And it was actually the woman's husband came forward and said, my wife took this money and we want to give it back. But, you know, it was kind of, for a few minutes, it was a little scary for my friend and me, because I guess they kind of felt like, If they were looking for suspects, it was kind of,
we had
access and we were young. And then I felt badly. There was another lady who was a single mom. And I think she was kind of thrown in the mix with us too. And it wasn't any of us. And so, I mean, it was sad. That lady, of course, who took it was not, never came back.
Yeah.
And, but,
when you worked at the bank, did you ever come up with a plan to rob them? I would just imagine myself, I would be daydreaming all day. Like, how would I rob this place? I mean, I would never rob a bank. There's too much risk. You know, I don't want to go to prison. Yeah. But I would definitely spend my days daydreaming about how I could rob them.
Oh, that's really funny. No, I guess that never crossed my mind. Like,
oh man, I was in the bank today, and I can't ever go to the bank and see the vault door open and not start daydreaming about like how, yeah, it's like a movie. I'm like, the vault's open right now. So
right.
Yeah, I took my son down to try and open an account earlier and they were like, no, you gotta make an appointment. So
I know, it's not easy anymore. A lot of banks in our town are closing, and it's kind of, you know, they want to send you like 20 miles away to use the ATM or something.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, not convenient anymore, no.
No, we try to do it online, and then they like you send an application, and they're supposed to respond back to you within like 10 to 14 days or something like that. I'm like, who has time to wait for that? You know, you're trying to access money.
Exactly. Yeah, but, no, not convenient.
Yeah. But the vault was open.
Right. Okay. Temptation was there.
Yeah. Yeah. I it's open. I know they don't just have piles of cash in there. It's not Scrooge McDuck.
Right. That's true. Yeah. I guess maybe because I knew they didn't really have, you know, if somebody came in and wanted a ton of money, we'd have to place that order ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I always feel like if you're going to steal, you have to steal really big to make it worth your while. You know, almost like a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super big where it's, and then really pray you don't get caught so you can enjoy it all.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like to think about it. So.
Right.
So in high school, the first time you drank, were you over 21?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, were you like approaching at 21?
Probably. I was probably in college, yeah.
Okay. Right. But yeah, still someone bought you alcohol and whatever.
Yeah, I think we would just find like a party or someone's old.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
So one time I was waiting outside, this is like, I was like 14, maybe 15, I was waiting outside of this gas station asking patrons as they came by
I've been asked and I always feel like, oh, I don't
want to
get this kind of a thing.
And I don't know if I've told this on the show before, but we asked this one couple walking by and I was with my friend William, and right as we asked him, the lady turned around and she was like, William? She recognized them, but then she went in and bought a beer.
That was nice.
And then we hung out at their house and drank.
Gosh, wow. Yeah. Maybe she just was like looking for company and you found her at the right time.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure she was scummy.
Oh, okay. All right.
But, yeah.
I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt.
No, I used to run around with them really bad kids. So they're probably all in prison now.
Well, I was going to say you should find them to be guests on this podcast.
No, that friend William actually robbed my house later.
Oh, no.
Yeah, when I moved out late, like we were friends until we were like 19. He eventually broke into my house while I was away. I knew it was him because he was supposed to come by my house that evening.
Right.
So when I got home after work, his hat was in the yard. And then I went inside and all my stuff was gone.
Maybe he'd been drinking with that lady who wrecked him.
Maybe. But yeah. So, no, we're not friends anymore.
No, I don't blame you. Definitely don't want him to come by and water your plants while you're out of
town. Yeah, yeah. I live a long way away from there now, but.
That's good.
So, you had some specific things that you were going to mention?
You know, I think now that we've been chatting, I think I mentioned them all. I was going to tell you my turnstile story, okay. my stealing the garlic knot story, my unfortunate almost starting a brush fire by littering. I think those are.
Yeah. Have you, so going places you shouldn't be, like when you were in high school, you never egg house, toilet paper, anything like that?
No, I didn't. It's funny because actually now in my later years, I find myself talking to more women my own age about egging houses, which is kind of funny. Mainly just I have a good friend who just went through an unfortunate work situation where it was kind of a bait and switch and really unfriendly people. And she was saying to me, you know, if you're up for it, would you egg this house with me? And she's sort of kidding. And now with inflation and the price of eggs, we're like, all right, we're going to, and you know, toilet paper, when that was so scarce.
Yeah.
During COVID, people were like, oh, you can't even you don't even want to toilet paper a house anymore.
Yeah, yeah. No, when COVID hit, like, I remember, like, thinking that was so ridiculous. And then all of a sudden, like, I went to the store one day and I was like, holy shit, this is real.
Yeah, these people weren't kidding, I know. Yeah. It is really scary. But Eric, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I do have a dentist appointment today, which I know is like kind of the opposite of like a badass criminal, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to go to that.
That's fine. No, I'm just glad to hear your stories and glad you came on.
Thank you Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. If you get up to any more shenanigans, you commit any more crimes.
I will. I was going to say, if my lady friends and I egg a house, I will definitely get back in touch.
Yeah. And I definitely recommend that you do.
Okay. When the egg prices drop or I get a chicken or something.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. If you get a chicken, that's probably. But all right. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you. I hope you have a great rest of the week.
All right. You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And we're back. Okay. So, Rachel, you have not heard the interview, but yeah, she seemed fine. She seemed like we had this interview on the books for over a month. So, I mean, if she had a fishing trip, I was just a little like, even from like what I post and what I send to people and when we set up these interviews, I don't think it's 100% clear that they know they're getting two interviewers. You know, they half the time they don't even realize it's going to be me. They always think it's going to be Scotty because he's the one who set up our Gmail account. So, yeah, half the time I think they're surprised to find out it's I'm the main interviewer and Scotty's, you know, there as well. Or it could be somebody else who's not even Scotty and they feel like they've been talking to Scotty this whole time. So, honestly, I like try to like combat that as much as possible, but it's too late. It's all linked to several other things. But no, I don't. Yeah, the interview was already set up. I'm pretty sure all the notes we have in place say that, yeah, it's roughly going to be 45 minutes to an hour. But then, yeah, as we got to like about 25 minutes, she was like, hey, I also, yeah, I just remembered I got a doctor's appointment. So I got to go. And I was like, all right. So yeah, and then we like said a few more things and wrapped up. But yeah, I wonder what people are going to think. I don't think it comes across weird, but we'll see. Do you have any other final notes? Anything? Oh, you had a story you've been saving. You weren't saving. I know. I said that on purpose. Do you want to tell that story now?
No. No, it's like it's lame. I was just trying to think of something I could say if I did. Intro and outro, but yeah.
Okay. What was the story? We can cut it if it's cut it. What's the story?
No, it's not interesting. And now you've like put me on the spot for it.
I can cut it. I don't know the story.
Then I can tell you later.
You don't trust that I'll cut it?
No.
Why would I not cut something that you would tell me to cut? Like I would fight with
you. I've told you to cut stuff before and you've told me no.
I mean, if it turns out you're thinking it's bad and I feel like it's good.
It's not. I mean, it's just nothing. It's just like a silly story, but it's not like interesting. That's why you don't know it. It's like this interesting thing I'm doing.
Okay.
It just is like crime adjacent.
Okay. Well, we did recently record, so like I said, we've had some other projects going recently. I brought on some previous guests and some other podcasters that we work with. And we've been working, I wrote a skit and I was trying to get people together to record it. So we met up recently. I know, our interview fell short. So I will see what I can do as far as like going through, We recorded this audio for this interview last night. We recorded for 45 minutes, and the actual audio for the skit is about 5 minutes worth of recording. I mean, I think we did two run-throughs, and they're each about 2.5 minutes each. So there's 45 minutes of audio I have for 5 minutes of skit. I will go through there, see what I can find from the outtakes and see what I can fill in here just in case people want to hear what else we've been working on in the meantime. I have no other crime news. I think we've already mentioned that our son hit a car. He's been doing a lot better driving. So, you know, if you've been keeping up with all that, he's not hit any more cars, been driving a lot, got his full license now, hasn't hit anything else that he's told us about. Although the car has got damage on it that we don't know where it came from. But that, who knows? Maybe elves are coming in the night.
He ran over something.
Yeah, well, he didn't.
It's too low to have been hit for him to have hit a car.
No.
But he ran over something.
And says he didn't notice it. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, he said he didn't notice it, and then you're like, "Did you hit a curb?" And he's like, "Oh, I have hit like 4 or 5 curbs since I started driving." Yes. So obviously one of those was very big and he just plowed over it.
Right. Well, yeah. So
also 4 or 5 curbs is a lot of fucking curbs.
When you were driving around and you were a new driver, how many curbs did your friends check?
I have no idea.
We used to shout it out all the time. It was like a thing. Like, yeah, when someone would nick a curb, you say, "Curb check." And you gotta shout it out. I mean, not like I'm saying like, but it happened. It happened on enough regular basis that it was like one of those games that you played when like someone runs a yellow light and you do a series of knocks on the window or some shit.
I didn't do a series of knocks on the window. I used to do something that I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I know. What I did was not a series of knocks either. It's hard to explain. You tap the dash twice, hit the windshield, and tap the dash again, and you say hot date.
Oh, yeah. We used to tap the ceiling and say hot sex, I think. I don't remember ever doing any curb things or ever acknowledging that it also maybe really didn't happen very often. Again, I grew up in a tiny town. There weren't really curbs where we were. So we've had to go into other towns to be hitting curbs.
Mrs. Minnelli's yard check.
Yeah, and we did go into yards sometimes. Yeah, like I went fucking full into one of my friend's neighbor's yards because she lived on a horseshoe road, but it was like a really tiny horseshoe. Like the middle, like the grass between the horseshoe, like was just grass and you couldn't have fit a house on it.
Are you talking about a cul-de-sac?
No. Like how our road is a horseshoe.
Oh, okay.
So it was like a horseshoe, but yeah, like our road is a horseshoe and there are houses lined and it actually goes around a neighborhood. It's a big horseshoe. This was a tiny one that just had a strip of grass like between the two roads. Some people had their mailboxes on that strip of grass.
So there were no houses in the middle.
But no house in the middle. Yeah, it wasn't that big. But we were like, "Hey, like how fast do you think, you know, could we take this?" And so I don't remember how fast I took it, but I know that I ended up in the yard of the house on the other side of the horseshoe, like full in their yard too, like completely my entire car was in their yard.
I mean, I believe it.
But I do remember one time a friend of mine, when I was like 19, he lived in Tulsa, he actually drove over a curb because he started going the wrong way down a one-way street. Over the curb to get to the right way.
So I was with my cousin one time and he started going onto the highway and realized that wasn't where we needed to go. And this was like midnight. And we were almost to the highway on the on ramp. And he just stopped and threw it in reverse and backed down the entire on ramp. And when we got to the bottom of the on ramp, there was a cop parked outside the on ramp and he saw us, but he just laughed. And then we drove on.
I saw a car do that in Irving once.
Yeah. And same cousin, his car was a beater, as most children's cars should be. I gave our son the better of our cars, and I drive the beater. But anyways, his car was a beater, and the driver's side window would not roll down. So one time we went through the Taco Bell drive-through backwards so that I could order from the passenger side window. And then another time we went through the Taco Bell drive-through about midnight and we thought it'd be funny. We had a bunch of Halloween masks in the car. We thought it'd be funny if we pulled up to the window with our masks on and the guy at the window like freaked out and locked the window and backed up. We took our masks off and we laughed and we were like, hey, yeah, come on, give us our order. And he like creeped forward and he opened the window and he was like, yeah, why don't you get on the road with that funny joke?
Like, all right, well, we are. Thanks.
Yeah,
well,
that's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, Conan used to do this bit where he would pay for food at a drive-thru and then go up to the box where they hand you the food or the window where they hand you your food. And he'd be like, sucker, and pull away or whatever. And so we decided to do that, but like we had jobs, so I don't know why we were being so stingy, but we didn't want to actually like pay any money to get food that we weren't going to get. So we went through a McDonald's drive-thru, and all we ordered was a small Sprite. And then when we got up to the window, my friend Preston, who was driving, was like, sucker. But he had like a 1960s Volkswagen van, and it was like a real piece of shit. And so he hit the gas, and then we like idled for like almost a minute. And we're like just staring at the lady at the drive-thru, and she's just holding a Sprite looking at us. Oh god, it was, yeah. Also, one time we were heading into Tulsa in his van, and we were going down the highway, and the back door flung open. So we were going on the highway with the back door open.
So one time I was going through a McDonald's drive-thru. McDonald's used to have awesome toys. And this was after the movie Hercules came out, and there's two little demons in the movie Hercules, and they had a McDonald's toy where one of those little demons is holding an eyeball. And these are solid toys. They're like full rubber all the way through. I mean, these are pretty decent toys. And I wanted this demon holding an eyeball. And I was like, okay, I got to go to McDonald's. I went and got a Happy Meal. I got my demon toy. And then I had a car full of people, though, and they were like, yeah, I think they were annoyed that I went through this McDonald's drive-thru to get this toy. And then they saw my toy, and then one of them was like, oh, I want one. Go back through. So I went back through the McDonald's drive-thru, ordered another Happy Meal, and then someone else was like, oh, I'll take one.
Oh,
so I went through this McDonald's drive-thru 4 times in a row and ordered 4 Happy Meals. Got 4 different toys.
Nice. For the same
toys? 4 of the same toys, yes. And I don't have that toy anymore. But it was a pretty cool demon. Voiced by Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, I remember the little demons from Hercules.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I'll tell my stupid story. So when I was a kid, I had these two friends. And again, I grew up in a very tiny town. There was not shit to do. When I was 13, though, I spent a lot of time. I was very close with my cousin. She was 15 at the time. And I spent a lot of time at her house, like over the summer. My mom worked overnight and slept literally all day. So I would spend just days on end at my cousin's house. Well, she was good friends with this guy, and he lived like not super far away. She kind of lived in town, and he lived like just outside of town. But I think it was pretty easy for him to catch rides. Like, if you left his house to come into town, you would pass her house.
Yeah.
So he'd get rides into town, and he would hang out with us like all day or all evening or whatever. So we got it like they were both 15. He would be there like at night a lot. I don't remember why, but we would just go walk through the town, or like we would play truth or dare or whatever. So one time we're walking through the town, and there's like a payphone not too far from her house, actually right outside the phone company. So we're like, hey, let's use this payphone to make some prank phone calls.
Yeah.
So first we're like dialing numbers at random, and we're saying whatever, and people are hanging up on us. But there was like another payphone there as well, and it had a phone number that someone had written in it. So we're like, oh, let's just call this phone number. So we call up phone number on the payphone, and my guy friend, he was telling everyone that his name was Don Johnson. And so people are answering their phone. He's like, hey, who is this? And usually they were like, who is this? And he'd be like, Don Johnson. And, you know, then whatever. Usually they would hang up on him, or they would say something smart or whatever. But so like
when people knew who Don Johnson was.
Do people not still know who Don Johnson
is? Nobody knows who Don. It took me a second. I was like, wait, is this supposed to be a joke? Just saying.
No,
it's like a John Hamm joke.
People aren't Miami Vice fans anymore. So
I barely knew who he was back then. Miami Vice. I don't think I've seen the single episode.
No, you're missing out.
Okay, I'll go back and watch.
Don Johnson's cool. Anyway, so we called this number that was on the payphone, and you know, he's like, yeah, this is Don Johnson. This guy, for whatever reason, starts talking to him, like keeps him on the phone, and it's like, oh, you know, whatever, right? So they have like a full conversation until, you know, you only have like so long on a payphone, and then it like tells you. And so he's like, oh, I gotta go, I'm out of time. And then like, we called this guy though, like twice a week for like weeks. And he would just talk to my friend Robert. And
I think, yeah, I've heard similar stories.
He called himself Don Johnson.
Have people meeting weird people over the phone.
Yeah, like, what was this guy's deal?
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of one now, but I know for sure I have a story of just running into someone randomly on the phone and being like, hey, and talking to them. Yeah, prank calls used to be a lot bigger thing.
Yeah.
They can never be a thing anymore, I guess. I mean, I guess you can prank call businesses, but you couldn't prank call a person. I don't answer a single number I don't recognize.
I mean, I do now because of my job.
I only do if I'm expecting a call.
Yeah, but I wouldn't answer like a private call, and that's how they would have to call you. Yeah. Otherwise, you would have their phone number.
Yeah.
But I didn't have caller ID till I was like 18 years old. And I still had it before like most people I knew had it.
Yeah. So when I first moved out, like living on my own, I'm a very young person. I prioritize certain things that my parents or my mom didn't. One of those things was my phone. And this is like early days. So if like phones advancing into... Before cell phones, but yeah, they're starting to become more advanced. Yeah, I got the biggest phone, because you could buy phones in packages. You could get a phone, or you could have a phone with caller ID, or you could have a phone with all sorts of...
An answering machine. Mine had caller ID and an answering machine.
Yeah. So you could... Yeah, so I... Living on my own, I was like, dude, give me the ultimate package. I got to get all the bells and whistles that a phone can have on it, which is like not even what a phone can have on it today. But so, yeah, I had all the bells and whistles. One thing it had, though, and I wish the phone still had this, it was selective call forwarding. So you could have if someone called you and you weren't home, you could set it to forward to
someone else's phone.
But I could change that to whatever. But selective call forwarding, I could choose numbers.
Yeah.
So I could say, anytime Bob calls me, I want it to be forwarded to here. And so I would choose all sorts of people and be like, your number goes to the strip club.
Yeah.
And it was a strip club. I would send it to Cloud 9. And I was like, all right, your number goes to Cloud 9. And I would prank people. And then when they call me back.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I would have loved that. I was probably 7 or 18, I guess, when I got caller ID. And so my first semester at college, I went to a college like nearby, like just, you know, a couple towns over from my tiny town. And so a lot of people I had gone to high school with went to this college, and like... I went to such a small high school that, like, I don't think popularity there worked the way it works in, like, bigger schools. So it'd be kind of hard to, like, I guess, explain hierarchies. But, you know, I was always fine, though. I always had some popular friends, and I didn't hang out with them. But I always, like, there were a lot of them I would sit next to in class and even talk to outside of school and whatever. But there was this one guy in my class who... He was like in with like the popular crowd, but I don't know very many people who actually liked him. He had just like been in that crowd since we were little bitty, you know what I mean? Like, but none of the girls liked him. And so everyone he dated was like 2 to 3 grades below us.
Oh yeah. Cause they knew he was with the popular crowd, but didn't know he sucked.
Yeah. Cause he could not get girls closer to his age. And like, and that just made him like way creepier and like way more off-putting, you know, like already like people thought he was creepy, and then it's like, oh, this is really weird. Well, he also went to my college, and, you know, so at that time, orientation was an entire stupid class.
I know. Yeah. I get one credit for it.
Yeah. You one credit for taking orientation. So we were in the same orientation, and I actually
don't do that anymore.
I hope not.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, it was ridiculous at the time, and I doubt it existed in, like, the 70s.
So it was new. Like, when we did it, that was only, I think that was, like, the first semester they had ever done it. Oh, jeez,
yeah.
Because that's what my orientation teacher told me, because they thought it would, like, give kids more time. Like, if during orientation you tour different buildings on different days and you do different things, like, they thought it would give you more time to, like, I guess better, you know, like get you into the campus or whatever. But we, like, this school had such a fucking small campus, like it was pointless. And so our orientation professor, like, he had us do like a couple things to like get to know the other people in the class. Mostly he just fucking let us go, right? Like, we'd get there and he'd be like, all right, bye everyone, go do whatever, you know, I don't care, this class is bullshit, see you later. He was like, nice. So this professor, he was like this like old hippie, like long blonde hair.
Was it Gishler?
No, wasn't Gishler. He was a math teacher. But when we went to that Student Temple Pilots concert, I saw him that day in the student union.
Oh, yeah, and he told me he was like, a creeper.
Yeah, and he was like, hey, are you doing anything this weekend? And I was like, oh, I'm going to see Student Temple Pilots tonight. And he's like, oh, they're in town? He's like, I might go to that. I didn't realize they were in town.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, please.
Yeah.
Because one time in class.
He's like cornering people and shit. Yeah.
No, the cornering people. Oh, no. That was so.
Yeah.
Well, so one time in class, he was like, I'll use an example here. Like, let's say Rachel does this and blah, blah. And this is like the second week of class or something, right? Like, I don't. It doesn't, like, occur. I mean, I went to a very tiny school. All my teachers fucking knew my name from day one, right? So I don't think twice about this until he's like, sorry to, you know, like, point you out or whatever. Jesus Christ. Okay. He's like, sorry to point you out. He's like, but you're just the only student whose name I know. And I'm like, okay, well, now that's weird. Like, you know, like, I didn't feel weird before. But then one time he gave us an assignment where our assignment that week was to go have one-on-one time with him in his office. So I made a good friend of mine come with me and, like, wait outside his office.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. But back to this guy, though. So this guy was in my orientation, and so he started talking to me in orientation because he knew me, you know. So he sat, and so I'm like, whatever. You know, I don't care. But then he starts, like, asking me on dates all the time, and I'm telling him over and over again. I'm like, no, I have a boyfriend. But my boyfriend was from, like, that school. And so he kept being like, oh, are you still with that guy? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, no, like, we should go out. And I'm like, oh, no, like, that's not happening. But, man, he would call me, like.
Was this Mike Akers?
No. Okay. Mike Akers didn't go to my high school.
Okay. Never mind. Yeah.
This guy's name was Mike, though, so. But this guy would call me just fucking repeatedly. Like, I would get home from school and or like work, and I would have like 5 missed calls from him on my caller ID, and he would call me like 8 more times throughout the night. Like, so if I could have sent his calls somewhere else, oh, that would have been
no, it was awesome. And I think that's the only reason I did it was so that I could fuck her, because I mean, I was still a child. And yeah, I was.
Caesar, why are you so noisy today? Caesar.
Jesus God. You know, every morning now I have to get up and open the door and put a pillow there because he, like, wants to bang the door shut and
then scratch it.
Yep. But anyways, so yeah, that's the episode. Thanks for listening. We will put out some more stuff. I'm being real loose with it. I don't want to force guests interviews that I don't necessarily want to do or anything like that, and we have turned a couple away and things like that. So I just trying to, you know, I want to talk to people and I want to hear their stories, but I also don't want to it bog down, especially if I have a lot of other, you know, I work a regular job, but I also want to, I got create, you know, other creative projects that we're working on, and who knows, COVID, I didn't expect that. Obviously Scott's a nasty boy. I don't know what he was up to, but he did something nasty. Not really, but yeah. It is always what I think. He gets outside less than I do. Somehow he got COVID. Just sitting in his room making nutcrackers. I guess maybe it came from China. Where did he get his nutcrackers? I don't even know. He probably does get them from China, honestly. But anyways, I doubt they came in on a nutcracker. Although I will, I'm going to send that to him in a message here in a minute. But anyways, yeah, thanks for listening. Yeah, we'll have some new episodes out here soon. I will put out... This episode actually did enough. Our intro and outro got enough here to make a full-length episode. So I may throw in some stuff, extra stuff here and there. But, yeah, we got some other projects, and I'll see where I got to share them. And, yeah, we'll see about when we can get some episodes out. Still out there, create content. I do want, you know, this is not just about talking to people about their fun stories, but it's about normalizing the fact that everybody's done shit, and I don't want it to be seem like, yeah, everybody that's done something is a bad person. So that's that. Check us out on social medias, like and subscribe, follow all of that stuff, all the things that you hear in your other podcasts. Do all that for us. And in the meantime, I'm Eric.
I'm Rachel.
And this was True Criminals.